The view from the inside. What's likely to be included in a deal to raise the federal debt ceiling?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Reputation.com, helping small business owners, professionals, and executives monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. Reputation.com.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's the Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, a deal to raise the debt ceiling and cut spending is expected in the next couple of weeks. We'll find out what's likely to be in the deal from someone who's been in on the negotiations. But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are up this morning. The Dow up 23 points at 11,920. The NASDAQ basically flat right now, and the S&P 500 up about 0.2%. News this morning that first-time jobless benefit applications dropped last week to 414,000. That's still pretty high. Meanwhile, new home construction rose 3.5% last month to an annual rate of 560,000 new houses, but that is still pretty low. Now let's get to Washington, where the bipartisan group of lawmakers led by Vice President Joe Biden will meet again today in search of a deal to raise the nation's debt ceiling in exchange for spending cuts. The group is hoping to reach a deal by July 1st. Diane Swonk has just been in Washington, where she's been meeting with some of the power players in the debt debate. She is, of course, chief economist with Mesirow Financial, and she's with us live as she is every Thursday. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, Diane, take us inside these negotiations. Are you expecting a deal, and what do you think will be in it?
There will be a deal, but it won't be written into legislation. There's just not enough time to write it into legislation, but there will be something on paper that is tangible, that they get enough cuts in it to actually raise the debt ceiling. And I do believe they're going to be working on, as we come back in September from their August break, they're going to be working on a long-term deal for deficit reduction, which all the outline of that is going to be in this preliminary deal.
And when you say it's not going to be actually written into legislation, do you mean that it's not going to be a real deal? It's just accounting tricks and delayed payments and stuff like that, or is this the real thing?
No, this is actually the real thing. They really are committed to doing something real this time. It's not California and just accounting tricks. This is actually the real McCoy. The problem is, hammering out the details, but they are really getting very close. I think on the short-term stuff, they're within billions of each other. I mean, when you're talking about trillions, 10 or 15, 20, even 30 billion ain't that much. So they are getting very close. They still have, and they are moving on both revenues, reforming the tax code, and on entitlements. So far, they've yet to touch Social Security, but they are going after Medicare to give the states more flexibility there. And I think they're going to get where they need to go. And in September, when they come back, I think we're going to start to see some real movement on real deficit reduction, because frankly, the rating agency said, we've had enough. It's time to get your fiscal house in order.
Interesting stuff. Diane Swonk, chief economist with Mesirow Financial. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Well, dealing with the long-term debt problem in Washington, as Diane said, will probably eventually involve changes to entitlement programs, and that could have big implications for the future of retirement in America. For more on that, let's bring in Marketplace Economics correspondent Chris Farrell. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, I imagine retirement could end up looking pretty different in America down the road.
Well, forget the RV, enjoying yourself in the sun. If you're going to sum up the future of retirement in America, there's only one word to describe it: bleak. I mean, look, we're cutting back on Social Security. We're going to cut back on Medicare. And yet McKinsey & Company, the blue chip consulting firm, its survey says that the average American household is $250,000 short of what it needs for a comfortable retirement.
Wow.
Do you know what the average 401k balance is, Jeremy?
What?
It's $58,000. And then there's that recent study that came out. It was a survey. But half of American households couldn't come up with $2,000 within 30 days in an emergency. So here's the mantra when it comes to retirement. It is save more, work longer.
And a lot of the money that we are saving in our retirements, for many people, goes into their 401ks. Can 401ks be the primary retirement savings vehicle?
Well, at the moment, it is our primary retirement savings vehicle. It was never designed to be that way. It was really to be a supplement to the traditional pension, the one that is a formula based on years of work and what your wage was, and then you get a check for the rest of your life. But that's what we've got, because you know what? In Washington, there's no stomach for a universal plan or some sort of mandate. Yet the experience of the past three decades is that we don't really know how to invest. The 401k puts too much responsibility on us, but we're stuck with it.
Marketplace Economics correspondent Chris Farrell, thanks so much.
Thanks a lot.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, offering business owners financial guidance for the long term. Information at massmutual.com. And by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at chevyvolt.com. For the latest in healthcare, Marketplace recently visited Russia for an intriguing look at the changing healthcare system. Visit marketplace.org and click on the health link for more.
Now to the flurry of companies going public right now. The American luggage maker Samsonite joined the list today, but its initial public offering isn't happening in New York. It's happening in Hong Kong. The BBC's Andrew Wood tells us why.
The city's had the world's hottest stock market for IPOs over the past 2 years. But investors are increasingly worried about economic trouble in China. Timothy Parker is the chief executive of Samsonite, but he's not concerned about the company's prospects.
I think there are price pressures in China, but certainly we're not seeing any reduction in the level of growth of our sales at the moment. And of course, you know, everybody in China is traveling more and more, and every time they travel, they need, guess what? Luggage.
Samsonite's disappointing debut raises questions about Prada's Hong Kong IPO next week. The Italian maker of luxury goods is raising more than $5 billion through its Hong Kong flotation. But some local investors worry that they'll have to pay Italian tax on dividends and profits if they sell the shares, as there's still no tax treaty between Hong Kong and Rome. In Hong Kong, I'm the BBC's Andrew Wood for Marketplace.
And finally, as if the U.S. Postal Service needed any more problems, in Dutch Harbor, Alaska, two post office customers were attacked last week by bald eagles. Turns out a pair of the birds, which can have an 8-foot wingspan, are nesting near the post office, and they're dive bombing customers to protect their chicks. Authorities say they have no plans to move the nest or change the post office logo, which, of course, is a picture of a bald eagle. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Waikiki Beach brings Hawaii about $2 billion in revenue every year. But like the beach's sandy stretches, that revenue is in danger of being washed away.
I look at it as triage. What beaches can we save for the next generation, and which beaches are going to be difficult to save?
I'm Kai Rizdal, changing climates, disappearing beaches, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.